All right, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, 17, and 18 this morning. And if you notice on the screen, we're launching into our first series for this new year and this new decade. And that, what's the Bible say about that? And so over the next several weeks, myself and the other pastors here, they're going to be preaching you along with me. We're going to be focusing on some of the primary teachings and foundational truths of God's Word. This has just been on my heart. I share with the guys that there's just a real sense in my heart that this is what we need at this time. As the world gets further and further, and especially America gets further and further away from the Lord and just chasing after Him, there's a need that increasingly enlarges for you and I to know what we believe and why. And so, of course, it's all based upon the Word. And so we're going to be doing this in steps. There will be this, what the Bible says about that, volume one. And then we'll switch to some other things as we get closer to Easter. And then we'll go back and we'll hit this again, and that'll be volume two. And so I hope that this will be something that you will have and use for some reference as we look at just different things of the Scripture that are foundational truths to our life. And so if you've got out your life point outline this morning, we're going to be talking about fasting, a key to heaven's help. It's not the key, but it is certainly a key that is taught here in Holy Scripture and something for you and I to be focusing on. So I want to focus today on a couple of things. Number one, we're going to be talking about fasting. That God wants us to understand this is one of the ways taught in Holy Scripture that we gain the help of God when you and I are in a crisis. All of us encounter a crisis at one time or another. It's something maybe that just really rattles our cage, if you will. We're not sure how we're going to handle it. We feel overwhelmed by that, and we wonder, what can we do when it seems like just simply praying is not enough? And so what God wants us to understand, the Word, there is something we can go to that just helps us to gain the help of heaven in a time of a crisis, and that's fasting. It's also something that we do as a church to gain God's help for our family here on the hill, for the things that we face. Satan comes against us. He battles against us. We understand that. And one of the things that keeps us keen and keeps us fresh in the power and the anointing of God is the work of fasting. It is something that God has given us. The second reason that we're doing this is because our faith walk with God from time to time gets stale. Can you spell stale? S-T-A-L-E. It gets stale, right? We love the Lord. We know Him. We're in a relationship with Him. But our walk with Him gets stale. It needs to be refreshed. We may have slacked up in certain areas of our life, maybe just being in the Word of God on a daily basis, and we're hit and miss with that. Times of prayer are rare, are far between. Our relationship with other believers maybe gets a little intense, and we find ourselves not behaving the way God wants us to. And this certainly happens in churches as a whole, and there becomes a divisive spirit in the body. And this is because of the work of the flesh, and it is something that we can never be unmindful of as a church family. These are the realities that are taught us clearly in Holy Scripture. These are things that God teaches us, are things we have to be aware of. And so in fasting, it enables me to freshen my walk with God. And so we're going to be looking at. Now, when we think about fresh, we may think about different things, particularly like right here. Brought a couple of examples for you. First of all, nothing smells better than fresh hot rolls. Can I get an amen? And particularly these. These, of course, are from Logan's. Not that I'm trying to promote them or anything. But oh my word. When those things are hot, you know, just there you go. And so so you've got that. That is delicious. And then down here on this end, you recognize the bag and everything. And really what I'm thinking about as a Baptist preacher, of course, is fried chicken. I don't think this is a generational thing. I think it's just a common sense thing. Fried chicken, if you don't know about that, you're missing out on life. I don't know if we're going to have that in heaven, so get it while you can down here. All right? And so then number three is this from Chick-fil-A, and this is the Christmas peppermint milkshake. Shut up. I was concerned that they had quit doing it. It's still on. And so that's yesterday. And being a sound mind and body, Catherine and I drank all of it. We did share it. But anyway, you see those things, and those are so incredibly good. I want you to look at the first truth in your outline. While we need food to sustain life, sustaining our walk with God requires recalibrating our faith through fasting. And so there's nothing wrong with fresh rolls, with the peppermint milkshake, and with chicken and that kind of thing. But here's the deal. A sustained habit on my part and your part to feed our flesh is an unguarded door of opportunity for Satan. And I just need to understand that. When I walk with that, that means that I am aware of a reality in biblical scripture. Look at the next insight in your outline. Going without food, immersing ourselves in the Word of God, drawing near to the Lord by prayer, feeds your soul and keeps your faith fresh. That is just one of the things that's given to us in Holy Scripture. Now, I want us to look at our Lord's words in Matthew chapter 6, if you've already got there. Matthew 6, 16. Jesus said, "Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face like the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they're fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Let's just bow for just a moment. Father, I just want to thank you for the clarity of Scripture. God, for the ability to just to be touched by the Word of God, that we know this is truth. It's just that testimony of the Spirit within our heart. We thank you for the Word because of it that is timeless. The Word alone is our source of eternal truth that is true regardless of the generation or the time. And Father, today we ask you, I ask you that this ancient directive of fasting will grip our lives. I cannot make anybody do anything, Father. And I know that's not your will. But we pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit, you will grip our lives, that we will want to draw near to you, and that the next 21 days will equip us for 2020. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to notice, look in your life point outline, there's a couple of things I want you to see. Number one, God says when we are fasting, he says, number one, don't make a public declaration of it. Don't be public about it. You know, the Pharisees, they were the fake believers. They were the religionists, according to Holy Scripture. They were ritual lovers. They were the ones who got all caught up in the thing, you've got to do this and you got to do that and you got to be in worship at certain times and you've got to say no to this and you got to say no to that. And they were all about do this. And there was no consciousness on their part of their inability to be accepted by God. They never sensed that. They never got caught up in realizing their lostness, their dirtiness in sin. Their whole thing was not about being washed by God from their sin. They focused on works. Listen, rather than humility. Just saying before God, God, I'm hopeless. I can't do anything without you. And so, but the thing with them, when they would fast, because they thought, I can do this, and this will be pleasing to God. Not realizing there's nothing they can do to make themselves pleasing to God. It's simply to bow before him and say, God, I need you. Help me. But there never was that brokenness. And whenever they would fast, they wanted other people to know about it. They wanted them to know that they were really struggling for God, that they were righteous and good people. So they wouldn't bathe. They didn't comb their hair. They would go around and just, you know, acting weak and all this. It's all just a front. And even if they were really feeling that way, they were testifying about it. They wanted everybody to know what they were doing so that you would think they were totally focused on their walk with God by neglecting their physical lives. So here's the thing. I want you to understand this. There is no command in Holy Scripture to fast. There is none. There is, however, in Scripture, the assumption that if we are chasing after God, we would at times fast. That we would do it. It would be part of our lives. Why would I do that? Why will I say no to at least one meal a day? Why would I say no to something pleasant like that? Why would I do that? I do it because I feel a sense of need. Because I sense in myself, I am not enough. John is not enough in himself to be the pastor God wants here. John is not enough in himself to be the husband Catherine needs. He's not enough to be the grandfather his grandkids need. He's not enough to be the dad of his two grown sons who need him at certain times in their life. He's not enough. You know, just fill in the blank, whatever you want to. That is the only reason why I fast. It's why I do it, because of this sense of need. Now, our baseline, you know, just the minimum, getting indoor, the minimum is going to be a meal a day for 21 days. You fast a meal a day for 21 days. Now, you can choose what you're going to do, what meal that's going to be. And there's going to be some days that we will fast potentially all day. But that's a choice on your part. Others in our church are going to be doing the Daniel fast. And you can find that guideline on our website. But the whole point is going to be that we're putting aside pleasant food for the sake of seeking God's face. But here's the deal. Nobody outside our church ought to know what we're doing, unless they're just listening to our service online. But nobody in Lufkin ought to know, hey, the church on the hill, they're all in a fast. They shouldn't really know that unless they're watching our services online. The second thing I want you to know is fasting is a private discipline that secures a public reward. And that intrigues me. I want you to look back again at verse 17 and 18. Jesus said, but you, when you fast, notice it's not if, it's what? When. Jesus said, when you fast, here's what I want you to do. He said, anoint your head. In other words, comb your hair and wash, please, so that your fasting will not be noticed. Who? By men. But your Father, who sees what is done in secret for his eyes only, will reward you, meaning openly. So here's the truth. The pathway to God's help in special times of need is denying the flesh to emphasize our need of heaven's help. That's why we do it. Now, we do it when I fast, what can I expect? Well, it can dislodge a stymied spiritual life. In other words, you're just kind of on hold. Your walk with God is stale. It can spark spiritual growth, recalibrate your life. It can get your career, your business, unstuck. Why? Because you're seeking the help of God in your life. This is a pathway to potential breakthrough for your family. Every one of us in our families, because we live in a broken world. For every one of us, there are going to be some times where we're stuck relationally. We feel like our families are stuck. Maybe our marriage is stuck. Something's going on with our kids. We've got a family problem we can't resolve. Am I connecting with anybody? You understand? All right, you're saying, what do I do? People come to us sometimes and say to Catherine or to me, who can I go see? Who can I go talk to? Who would you recommend? Sometimes I want to say, have you thought about stopping eating and getting on your face before God? Until you hear. Because there's times that our answer is Him and only Him. We need God to do something. God, we need you to step in. Does that make sense? All right, so number one in your life point outline, that was the introduction. The purpose of fasting. Biblical fasting is not just going without food. That's a diet, okay? So this is not that. This is not a diet. Weight loss is not the goal of a church-wide fast. That can be a potential side benefit, but it isn't the goal of what we're doing. Biblical fasting is not starving yourself to make a statement. That's a hunger strike. All right, so fasting is different. Look at the truth in your outline. Fasting is declaring our weakness. And that's an important point. You might just underline that or circle it. Fasting is declaring our weakness by refraining from food for a time to gain the help of God. Why do you refrain from food? Because that's a necessity in your life. And it's not about starving yourself. But it is about putting aside what is normal for your life to say, this is not the greatest need of my life. The greatest need of my life is God. And the Bible says that there's an earthly reward for fasting. But that's not the reason that we're doing it. That is a byproduct. Look at the insight in your outline. The purpose of our January fast is for the hill to draw closer to God by prioritizing God over our desire for food. And I want to be clear about this. For some of you, you know, you've done this with us for the last several years. Some of you, it's a new thing. And so this is kind of like a calf looking at a new gate. You're not really sure about what you think about this or what you're going to do about this. I want you to understand this. In no way do I want you to receive from me pressure to do this. Okay? Do not receive. That is not my point. The goal and the motivation of today's message is not making or pressuring you to fast. That being said, if you're not going to be part of the next 21 days, if that's what's knocking around in your brain, here's just a couple of things that I want you to know. And this is in your notes. Number one, you're not going to be drawn to this exercise of faith unless you have a hunger for God. I want you, Lord, in my life. I need you. You're not going to fast unless that's true. Okay? Number two, you're not going to fast unless there is an awareness of the need for a greater presence and work of God in your personal life, your home, and your business. God, I need you. I need you in how I earn a living for my family. I want to be able to do more for missions. I want to be able to do more for the church and the work of your work on this earth. And God, I need you. And so you're praying that to Him. And number three, you'll not challenge yourself to fast unless you feel your weakness to handle the challenges that life is throwing at you today. In other words, that there's something going on in your life that's got you on your face. Maybe there's something going on in your life that makes you look at a dark ceiling at night when you're laying in bed. In Matthew 6, verse 16, Jesus said, when you fast, not if, but when. He assumed, our Lord assumed, fasting would be a part of my life. Luke 9, 23, Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him, listen, deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Notice those two words, deny himself. If I am a true disciple of Jesus Christ, there is an ongoing element of self-denial in my life. In other words, if I'm chasing after the Lord, denying myself will be a part of how I live. I will do that. I'm not always doing everything that I want to do. But there is this ongoing thing of denying myself. Listen, when we're in grief, when you have a spouse that dies, when you have a child, when you have a parent that dies, when you have a close friend that dies, is it not true when you're in grief, there are just times, I don't care about eating. Do you agree with that? Huh? You know, a lot of times what we do when somebody dies is we throw food at them, you know? And the reality is a lot of times you just don't want anything. Why? Because of grief. So we don't eat when we're grief-stricken. We don't eat a lot of times when we're sick. It's like, ugh, I don't want that. You know, I don't want anything. We don't eat a lot of times when we're overwhelmed because we don't know what we're going to do. Everything looks dark. We're not sure what our next step needs to be. So turning from food a lot of times is a common thing. We do it all the time. But here's the insight in your outline. Fasting deprioritizes food and declares God's help is our greatest need. And that's why January is the best time to do this fast. We have just come out of Christmas and Thanksgiving, for crying out loud. We have for weeks stuffed our face with food. Can I get a testimony? Amen. Right? And we are at a position right now where our flesh can really be strong. Why? Because we fed it. Every time a stomach growls, we go and get something fattening, you know, or sugary. And so we are more likely to fall into sin right now, to sin against others, because we fed our flesh for this holiday season. So it brings me to number two. Fasting is a declaration of weakness. I fast because I'm saying, God, I'm weak. Here's a reality check in your outline. If your life is marked by, listen, tiredness, stress, and confusion, you need to embrace the possibility that you've been playing God. I know that might like, whoa, what? But see, the reality is, I'm acting like God Jr. when the focus of my life is how I earn my living, provide for my family, and just doing physical activity. I'm just go, 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 go. And we've got a whole lot of things in our world today that can keep us on the move all the time. Would you agree with that? Yes. You know, that's why so often, in our worship, and I'm sorry, I'm just going to always be holding up the standard that God has always said, I want you to worship me once every 7 days, not once every 7 weeks. And so it's once every 7 days. And we're to gather together with his people. We make that a priority. And so often in so many lives, that is not a priority. And we are focused on physical activity. Go here, do this, do that, and everything. And instead of, there's no focus time for prayer. So the question is this. How often do we fall on our face before God, declaring that we are weak and we just can't be what he wants us to be? And we just got that sense. I'm not the husband I need to be. I'm not the dad. I'm not the man that I need to be. You know, you fill in the blanks. Guys, when's the last time that you and I confessed to God that we need his help to be the husband our wife deserves? Because reality is sometimes we're just a jerk. When's the last time any of us, men or women, fell down before God and asked him to help us be what we need to be for the sake of our children and our grandchildren? Here's the truth in your outline. Resistance to fasting is a declaration that we feel no great need for God's help in our daily life. Now, that's reality, because that's what fasting means. God, I need you. You know, many in our church have kids and grandkids that are about to go off to college. That's becoming a new reality for Catherine and me. We're going to start having, since this past year when our oldest grandchild, Garrett, graduated, we will have a grandchild graduating high school except for 1 year every year for the next 11 years. And so there are going to be some Sundays in May. Sheer and I are not going to be here because we're going to be in Oklahoma. For a graduation. And so that's what's coming. But I tell you what that brings to my mind is my grandkids are about to start leaving school. And I want to tell you something, that ought to make me not nervous, but very aware that my grandkids are going to potentially be put in a place and a challenge where the world is going to be seeking to claim their heart and again to turn cold toward the things of God. The reality is we have had kids who have done very well here at the Hill. They've done very well. But they have wandered when they've gotten out of here. And if it's happened elsewhere, it can happen to your family and to mine.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
And I don't want a Christmas where I'm wondering, are my grandkids going to come home? Our families have some kids that are beginning middle school and high school. You tell me there is no sense of concern to protect your child's hearts from kids who are going to offer themselves as friends to your child and their heart is not for God. We need to always remember God's warning in Scripture, bad company corrupts good morals. Your child and my grandchildren will not pull a bad kid up if they walk with them and track with them and go with them and do the things they do. The kids who are far from God will pull them away. That's why we keep telling girls, you do not missionary date. You do not missionary date. If they don't know Jesus, he's not available to you. And you go, you're not available to him. And you just say no. I mean, you don't even go have to ask dad. If he doesn't know Jesus, if he's not chasing after the Lord, God says, I've already warned you, you will not win him if you lower the line and you start dating him and he doesn't love the Lord. You have already sold yourself out and you will get pulled away. And as a church, we've outgrown our church facilities for our children. We need to build this building, and it is a stretch, I'm telling you. It's a $6 million challenge, and we'd had a wonderful response, but only about $2.3 million. That's a long way from six. But I'm not worried about that if we're tracking with the Lord. Because one of the things I know is our God is able to sell cows on 1,000 hills, is he not? Our Father said, I can bring whatever you need into your life when your desire is to do what I want you to do. And if we will not lose our vision that God has planted us here for the sake of this city and for the sake of this county to bear witness to Jesus Christ, God said, I will pay for everything I order. And 4 months before God brought available this property below us with the big white house and 11 and a half acres of land, God sent an individual to this fellowship, and they've never joined this body to yet. And they wrote out a check to our church for $500,000. Why? They said, because we like what you're doing. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
So the truth in your outline, fasting reminds us that God is the power in our weak lives. Number three, our 21-day fast. The truth on your outline, the type of fast is determined at the front end. In other words, fasting is never easy. I'm committed to eating. I like it. There's never been a day I don't think I'd enjoy eating. And my flesh will fight me because my flesh does not yearn for God. My spirit does, but not my flesh. My flesh wants what it wants when it wants it. And I've got to decide at the front end what I am going to do, or you will change as the pressure increases. So, well, maybe I can modify this a little bit. No. Hold your ground. Here's the truth about our fast. The challenge is one meal each day for 21 days when we can be alone with God in his word and on our face to heaven. So you fast during a time when you can be with him. That's when you want to be doing it. That means that tomorrow, January the 6th, our challenge is to fast one meal a day Only drink water, and you don't eat until the next mealtime. Unless God puts on your heart and you just have a desire, Lord, I want to, tomorrow I'm going to fast all day. All I want to do is drink water all day long. But you do that because that's what you want to do. Because you have a desire for him. It is not a law. Our challenge is that we'll do one meal a day. But the whole thing is to track with the Lord. And so how does he lead you? Now, if your health prevents you from fasting, then deny your flesh in some kind of meaningful fashion. You know, you say no to coffee for that day. You focus on him. You may say no to sweets or to carbohydrates because you cannot not eat because of medical reasons. But it is all about seeking God's help and favor and setting aside a specific time for us to be alone with him. And all we're doing in being alone is we're saying, Father, we need you in our church. Our pastor said, we need you. Help us build this building. Help us be the church God wants us to be. But God, I'm also needing to fast because I want you. And I want a time just to be alone with you. And I am so grateful for several in our family who have helped us get this together, the Devotions from the Hill. This is a booklet we're making available to you. It's out here on tables in the mall area. Be sure and pick one of these up. This is what you can read. There's a devotional for each day during the 21 days. I am so proud of these people who helped put this together. There's not one devotional from me in here. This is from your church family. You're going to be blessed and saying, man, this is great. So be sure and pick one of these up. I have already started reading it, and I love it. And I love what's being done. Now, really, this is going to be a great tool to focus your mind. And what some of the things that Catherine said, are you going to tell some of the things that you want us to pray for? Yeah, maybe write this down. Personal obedience to God's will by our church family. That we'll just continue to be obedient to that. You know, one of the things we did this last year is we gave $100,000 to the Weezers in the Northwest who are reaching kids lost far from God, and they're planting churches on college campuses. And their goal is 21 campus churches by 2021. And so they're very close. And our church, working with the North American Mission Board, we just funded 4 campus churches. Can you give God a hand clap of praise on that? I'm so excited about that. And that's what we were able to do because of your faithfulness in giving. And they were totally excited, totally blown away. And so for every $25,000 we gave, then the North American Mission Board gave $50,000 because it takes $75,000 to do a church plant on a college campus, just to get it started and get it going. And they are baptizing kids right and left who have no background in the things of the Lord. And many of them are surrendering to preach and to carry the gospel around the world. All right. So, and then number 2, a stewardship of God's resources, that we'll just be good stewards in building this building for our kids, that we'll assume responsibility for that. We're going to see, God willing, that building go up. And we're going to see us get to the point that it is debt-free. That's our goal. And then number 3, that our church will answer month by month and year by year the call of discipleship. It isn't just preaching the word. It's not just faithfulness in worship. That's part of it. But it's also understanding the value of life group ministry, that you need to be in a relationship with other believers who are going to help you in your walk with God. You need that. You need that personal examination. We need to be faithful in reaching others for Christ and helping them get into the Word. That's why Brother John Richardson is here, because that's his background, that's his love, that's his heart, to help you know how to get people into the Word and to help disciple them. And you and I can learn to do that. All right, number 4, let me move quickly, is the power of fasting. Fasting, number 1, removes us from selfishness to surrender. Because when I feel weak, when my stomach growls, that reminds me I need God. I need him. And that's why I'm doing this. So that's number 1. Number 2, fasting is a walk with God. Some days I may sense that I need to fast all day. Other days I'll just do the baseline of one meal. But this whole thing for 21 days is about walking with God through these days of purposeful fasting. This is what Jesus said in John 4:32. I have food to eat that you know nothing about. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Here's the insight. Jesus never let his body rule his soul. And so the 21-day fast isn't about how spiritual we are. That's not what it's about. It is about how weak we feel. How weak do we feel to be what we need to be in our home? Listen just a minute. Just be real still. Do you feel weak to make the changes in your life that you need to make? That's what fasting is about. Do you feel weak and incapable of breaking an addiction on your own? Do you feel weak to break the stranglehold of a certain sin that maybe nobody knows about that's in your life? You're just like, God, I keep falling to this. And lastly, do you feel weak to change your family dynamic from conflict to calmness? There's conflict in the family. And it's like, I don't know what to do. That's what these next 21 days are about. These next 21 days is way more than saying no to rolls and milkshakes and fried chicken. It's about saying yes to the Father. It's about saying, Father, I need you. I need you. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. And as soon as I say amen, then if you'll be still and see our announcements, and then you'll be dismissed. Father, thank you this morning for what you've done. Just, God, for the word and just for the direction that it gives us for these next 21 days. God, we've got something that we can do. Something that God reaches out to you. That it's about you. And that when we deny ourselves for your sake, you listen. Because it's one of the ways that we can let you know we really, really need you. That we will say no to ourselves so we can say yes to you. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in these next 21 days. Bless us with your blessing, we pray, Father. Show us your favor. And help us as we preach the word to feed your people and to give them direction for the years ahead. We pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Watch the screen.